Some of this will not be new, probably just a good reminder, but especially during this season of Thanksgiving, we need to be reminded that we need to be thankful. Many times we just go through life and we just kind of take things for granted, don't we? I heard of a preacher who made this statement one time. He said, "What would we have left if God took away everything that we had not thanked Him for?" Think about that. What would we have left if God took away everything that we had not thanked Him for? That's a good thought, isn't it? Well, I think our supreme example, of course, of faithfulness would be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's no better place than to start with Him, right? And if the Lord Jesus Christ was thankful, then, of course, He is our supreme example. So then we also need to realize we need to be thankful. Christ was thankful to His Heavenly Father. It was His Father. Well, He's our Heavenly Father, and so we need to be thankful. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You very much for all that You've done for us. And I pray that during this time of Thanksgiving that we'll all just take some time and just be still and, Lord, just have a time when we get with You, Lord, and just thank You for all that You've done for us. We know that during this last year, since last Thanksgiving, there's been a lot of trials and difficulties that people have went through. But, Lord, we can still give You thanks that You're with us during all of that time. Lord, we know that there's burdens here and there's needs here represented. And, Lord, I pray that we'll start off our prayers and our worship by just being thankful. And, Lord, help us again today to be reminded of what we need to do in this area. In Jesus' name, amen. Doesn't seem like a year since last Thanksgiving, and I know that a lot of folks have went through a lot of things this year. I look around the room here, and man, if we could all stand up and just say things that's happened in the last year, we'd be here for a long time. There's been trials, there's been difficulties, there's been mountain peaks of happiness, and there's been low times and more gray hairs, less hair, things like that, right? But decisions that were made that maybe we're glad for those and maybe we're sad for those, but we can be thankful. At High Desert Haven this morning, we had a good crowd out there this morning. I think about all the seats were taken this morning. And some of those people were talking about being thankful, and they're in wheelchairs. I remember one lady, she is in terrible health. She was there in a wheelchair, and she had a brace on her knee, and she can't hardly get around, but she was there. Her daughter came to take her to church, and she was giving thanks. So, you know what? We're much better off than a lot of other people are. There's a lot of people couldn't get out of bed this morning. There's a lot of people that don't have their health. There's a lot of people that don't have all kinds of things that you and I have. And so we need to be thankful. And by the way, even if you lose your health, you can still be thankful. We can be thankful that we're going to heaven one of these days, and we won't ever lose our health up there, will we? Well, let's start off with the Lord. I'm going to just turn to a lot of verses today because we need to see what the Bible says about being thankful. And if you can't find all these verses, that's fine. Just listen. But let's start off with the book of Matthew, chapter 11. And verse 25. Again, Jesus Christ is our example in everything. Now, the Bible says that it is the will of God that we be conformed to His image. That simply means that it is God's will that all of us become more and more like Christ. And one of the areas we need to become more like Christ in that I think maybe we're lacking in sometime is this area of thankfulness. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 25. Here's what the Lord said. Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." So we see right there, Jesus said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth." Jesus Christ was thankful. And He was not ashamed to tell his heavenly Father that he was thankful. Look over at Matthew chapter 26 and verse 27. Another illustration where the Lord was thankful. And I'm just going to mention a few verses here, but there are lots of them in the Scripture. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 27. This is the Passover meal that the Lord celebrated with the 12 apostles. And this is where he initiated what we call the Lord's Supper. Verse number 26. We'll read verse 26 and 27. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." So there you see the Lord was again giving thanks to his heavenly Father. Look at John chapter 11, if you would. John chapter 11 and verse number 41. John 11 and verse number 41. This is, of course, the story of Lazarus. And let me see. Let's look at verse 41. John 11 and verse 41. He says, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid." Of course, that was Lazarus. "And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." So here he's going to raise Lazarus from the grave. And before he does that, he looks to heaven and he gives thanks again. "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." How many of you would say, "I also am thankful that our heavenly Father hears me"? Boy, I am. Well, God heard Jesus Christ, and he hears us too. I'm glad about that. So those are just three places there where it says that Jesus thanked the Father. And he is our supreme example, and we're supposed to be more and more like him. You know, interestingly, even the heavenly host engage in thanksgiving on a continual basis. Look at the book of Revelation, if you would. Chapter number 7. The book of Revelation, chapter number 7. It's the last book in the New Testament, of course, written by the Apostle John. Revelation chapter number 7 and verse 11 and 12. Revelation 7, 11 and 12. It says this, "And all the angels," that's all of them, every one of them, "and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." You even see the angels giving thanks. Of course, God is the one that created them, and they, I'm sure, are very thankful that they didn't line up with Satan way back there in that rebellion, and they're going to have to spend all of eternity in hell. Revelation chapter 11, verse 16, basically the same thing as before, but we see it again here. Revelation chapter 11, 16 and 17. "And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." Now, people say, who are those 24 elders? I'm not sure exactly who they are. But we see that the angels gave thanks. We see that these 24 elders fell on their faces, worshiped God, and said, "We give thee thanks." I'm sure you know this, but worship and thanksgiving go together. You and I cannot worship the Lord like we should without thanksgiving. We can't. Look at Psalms chapter number 50 and verse number 14. Psalms 50 and verse 14. Again, it's just going to be a simple message today, but I just think it's a good time for us to be reminded that we need to be thankful. This is, of course, coming up the holiday season, and Christmas decorations, they've been out for several months now already. When the new Hobby Lobby opened in Palmdale, right after it opened, my wife and I were down there, and we went in there, and a quarter of the store was just Christmas stuff, trees, and this is back in when, like September or something like that. So it's getting earlier and earlier and earlier. But I know my wife likes that channel, Hallmark Movie Channel. They have Christmas movies on all year long. I mean, all year long. She'll go through them and say, no, I've already seen that one. Already seen that movie. Already seen that one. But they always come out with all new Christmas movies, right? But, hey, as we're on the holiday seasons here, the season, Thanksgiving, then it won't be long till Christmas. This is a time when many people in the world, or even here in America, they don't even stop and give thanks for what, you know, what it's all about. It's just all commercial, right? It's all about gifts and all of that. And the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And of course, the Lord was our example in that He gave Himself. But many people, it's all about getting, and it's all about what they're going to get. And that's the way the world's philosophy is. But the truth is, we need to be thankful. And we're coming up on Christmas. Christ is the reason for the season. We need to give thanks at this time, especially for all that God has given us. I imagine that we will all eat more, at least if we want to. We'll all eat more this week than most of the world will eat in a long, long time. Most of the world will never sit down to a meal like most of us are going to have this week. Even if you don't cook, you can go to Denny's and get a Thanksgiving meal, and it'll be a meal better than most people will ever see in their life. So we've got a lot to be thankful for. Psalm chapter 50 and verse 14 says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High." Now that's a commandment right there. It's not like if you feel like it. It's a commandment. Offer unto God thanksgiving. That's what we're supposed to do. Let me ask you this: how is your offering of thanksgiving? Do you stop? Do you pray during the week and just offer God thanksgiving? Do you thank God for everything He's done for you? Do you thank Him when you get out of bed in the morning? Do you thank Him for the meals when you eat those meals? Do you thank Him for safety when you lay down at night? My wife and I always pray that God will protect us during the night, our family, our house, our kids. And you wake up in the morning, and I don't know about you, but here's the way sometimes Satan works. Satan will say something like this. It's some of those fiery darts that come through, thoughts in your mind. Well, I don't need to pray that God will protect me and all that kind of stuff. Nothing ever happens to us anyway. You ever have thoughts like that? Well, and then you say, well, dummy, the reason nothing happens to you anyway is because you prayed, right? And you ask God to take care of you. He does take care of us, doesn't He? He does. So we need to be thankful. We need to check up on our thankfulness this week. In the book of Daniel, we see that we are to give thanks in our private worship. Daniel chapter number 6 is a real good place to see this. Daniel chapter number 6 and verse number 10. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. This was in his worship, in his dwelling place. The Bible says, Daniel 6:10. Now again, if you can't find these this fast, don't worry about it. Just listen. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Of course, we know the story. They passed a decree. Nobody was supposed to pray to anybody but the king. But Daniel, after hearing that, just continued on with his private worship in his home. Of course, he opened his windows and he prayed facing towards Jerusalem. That's what the Jews did when they were in another country somewhere because of what Jerusalem meant to them. But here in his home, in his private worship time, three times a day, he got on his knees, he prayed, and he gave thanks. So we see that thanks ought to be part of our private worship. But not only part of our private worship, thanks ought to be part of our public worship. Look at Psalms 35 and verse 18, if you would. Psalms 35 and verse 18. Psalm 35, 18. This is David, and he wrote this. And he said in Psalm 35, verse 18, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. So we see that David said that he was going to give God thanks in the great congregation, in all of the assembly of the children of Israel. When they were together, David was going to praise God and he was going to give him thanks publicly. Look, we ought to give God thanks privately, but when we're out in public, hey, when we have an opportunity, then we ought to give God thanks publicly also. Look, when you're in a restaurant, and we know that, we'll look at some more scriptures down here, but we know that we're supposed to pray before we eat. Look, when you're sitting at a table, you ought to bow your head and you ought to publicly be willing to give God thanks for what you're about to eat. Now, don't make a fool out of yourself. I've been to eat before with a preacher one time who clapped his hands and said, we're going to pray for the meal now. I wanted to crawl under the table. By the way, in my opinion, the reason he did that was because he was very arrogant, very proud, and he wanted to attract all the attention to him, and not the Lord wasn't going to get the glory out of that. But when you're at the meal with your family or by yourself, you can bow your head and you can pray. You don't have to pray, you know, loud, real loud. And if you're by yourself, you can bow your head and pray. But don't be afraid to bow your head. A bowed head testimony can be a testimony to others. So whether we see in the Bible that Daniel, I would say he was a great man of God. David was a great man of God. And they were willing both in public and in private to give God thanks. Now here's a verse that we like to quote, but I can tell you this, it's easier quoted than done. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 says this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let me ask you this. Would you agree with me that that's a tough thing to do? Now, I don't think the Bible is saying that we are to, you know, necessarily be thankful for every single thing that happens. I mean, for example, you know, there's several people in our church that have lost children. That's a tough thing. And so I don't think we ought to, I don't think the Bible says, dear God, we thank you for letting our son die. That's not what it means. But I can tell you this, when we heard that our son had died, we were very thankful that we knew where that boy was at. We knew that that boy was in heaven. He was home safe. I'm glad about that. And so I think what the Bible is saying here is that in every situation we go through, we need to find something there to be thankful for. And if we look at those situations and we just say, Lord, I don't know why this happened, but we're just going to thank you that you know exactly what you're doing. And we pray you'll work all this out for your honor and your glory. Jared was in Arkansas. They were visiting a church just a few weeks ago. And they saw a young lady in that church that was saved at our son's funeral there in Oklahoma. And that's been 7 years ago. The young lady got saved at the funeral, and her family are in a Baptist church in Arkansas today. So we can thank God for that, right? That out of that, somebody got saved and somebody is in church, raising their family in church. But we need to remember that. And again, when these fiery darts of the devil come through, I think those are thoughts that just come flying through our minds. Hey, he's going to work on us about verses like that right there. He's going to say, come on, you really think God wants you to give thanks in this? And he's going to say stuff like, he's not, you know, what kind of a God is that to let you go through that? You're living for him, you're serving him, and you went through that, and then he wants you to give thanks for it? Hey, we can't entertain any thoughts from that Satan puts in our mind for even a moment. That's why the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, I don't know if first or second now, I can't remember, maybe second, but it says that we are to bring into captivity every thought and imagination of our heart. Every thought that comes in our mind, we are to bring that into captivity. That means we're to take that captive. We're to lasso that and rein it in. So when thoughts come in our mind that goes against Scripture, we can't entertain those thoughts. We know where they come from, and so we just have to say, no, I'm not even thinking of that. The Bible says God is good, and the Bible says in everything, give thanks. And that's what it says. We see when, let's look back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah is one of my favorite people in the whole Bible. I'm looking forward to meeting Nehemiah one of these days. Nehemiah was a great leader, a great man. Nehemiah chapter number 12. Nehemiah chapter number 12 and verse 31. Now, of course, they rebuilt the walls of the city of Jerusalem in 52 days. And they were hindered by the enemies of God, but they just, because of Nehemiah's leadership, they just kept on going. And Nehemiah chapter number 12 and verse 31 says this, "Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall." Now that's the newly completed wall. "And appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks. Wherefore one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate, and after them," and then it goes right on down there. But all these gates that were destroyed, they rebuilt the gates, they rebuilt the walls, and Nehemiah had two great companies. In other words, two groups of people that all they did was walk around the top of those walls and give thanks. The city had laid in ruins for a long, long time, decades, from having been completely burned down. Now in the book of Ezra, they rebuilt the temple, but the walls were still down. And Nehemiah came and brought people, the Jews, back, and they rebuilt the walls. And he sent two great companies around the walls, just giving God thanks. Look at verse 40, if you would. Verse 40. "So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the rulers with me." So these people, all they did was appoint two big groups of people that all their job was to just give thanks. That's how important it was after they finished the job, because they knew that God is the one that had let them complete that. Look, when God does something wonderful in our lives and he lets us accomplish something, he lets us get promoted at work, he blesses us in some kind of a special way, we need to make sure and remember, if it wasn't for him, this would not have happened. Sometimes we just are really happy and just go right on our way, and we don't even take time to stop and say, "Thank you, Lord, for what you did. Thanks for this job. Thanks for the promotion. Thanks for letting me pass this test. Thanks for the raise. Thank you for this or that." And after great accomplishments, we see that in the Bible, they gave thanks. I mentioned this before, but about praying for the food, but look at John chapter number 6. When we pray for our food, we are being biblical. John chapter number 6 and verse 11 says this, "And Jesus took the loaves." Now remember, this is the story of the feeding of thousands here. This is the 5,000. There are 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. And verse number 11 of John 6, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. But notice, before the Lord performed the miracle that he did, he gave thanks. He didn't say, "Now, Lord, I've got a lot of people to feed here, and you only gave us a few fish." He didn't have to pray that. He was thankful for what they had, and then he blessed that, and then, of course, the miracle took place. Look at Acts chapter 27, if you would. Acts 27 and verse number 35. I know we're looking at a lot of scriptures here, but we're going to see that the Bible is full of places and people where it tells us to be thankful and also examples of those that were. Acts chapter 27 and verse number 34 and 35. Acts 27, 34. "Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." This is, they're in this ship in the midst of a big storm. Verse 35. "And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat." This is the Apostle Paul on a ship in the midst of a storm, and the Apostle Paul was not ashamed to pray before them all. He took that bread and he asked God to bless it in front of everybody. Paul was a prisoner on this ship, but he still gave thanks before that they ate. Look at Psalms 30 and verse 4. Psalms 30 and verse 4. When we think of being thankful, we think of a lot of things. And you know, thankfulness, I mean, a lot of people have had different things in their life. Of course, we think about food. We think about clothes, vehicles. We think about places of shelter. Well, here's something we ought to be thankful for. Psalms chapter 30 and verse 4. Psalms 30 and verse 4. "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." That's probably not on our list of things to be thankful for, but on right here in the scripture it says, "Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Hey, when we think about God and we think about all of his attributes, that ought to make us thankful. He's holy. I'm glad that he is. He is omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent, and he's eternal and he's immutable. And as we think about those things, immutable means that he doesn't change. Eternal means that he is forever and ever. And omnipotent means he's all powerful. Omniscient means he's all knowing. Omnipresent means he's everywhere at the same time. And of course, we know what holiness is. And the Bible says that God is holy. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So when we think about those things, and we ought to, it ought to move us to thank God for his holiness and for all of these other attributes. Look at Psalms 106. We ought to thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Psalms 106 and verse number 1. Psalms 106, 1. "Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Aren't you glad that we have a good God? Now we know there's only one God, okay? And he is the true God, the God of Israel. He's my God and your God. If you know him as you know Christ as your Savior. But when you look at all of the false gods that people around the world worship, they don't have good gods. They have mean gods, angry gods. I have been to India and I've seen idols, I mean, way out in the middle of nowhere before that they stop and worship, and they're wicked looking things. I mean, I can't even describe what they even look like here this morning. But they're just evil and mean and wicked and nasty. That's not our God. Our God's a good God. And our God is full of mercy. Aren't you glad? He's full of long suffering. Boy, I sure am glad about that. I'm sure glad he doesn't swat us upside the head every single time that we ought to be swatted upside the head, right? He is merciful. God is good. And we are to thank Him for that? Have you thanked the Lord for just being good? Look at Psalms 107, verse 1, next chapter over. Psalms 107 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Many, many times in the Bible we see that the Lord is good. Look at Psalms chapter 100. Anytime you think about thanksgiving, this psalm would probably come to mind. Psalms 100. And I know many people in here can quote this. But let's read it together. If you have a King James Bible, I think everybody here does, they'll all read the same, okay? Psalms 100, here we go. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. I think as we think about thanksgiving, we ought to be thankful mostly of all for God's unspeakable gift of sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15. When it talks about the unspeakable gift, that just means that there's not words enough to express our gratitude for what God did in allowing His Son to come to this earth, die on the cross for us, and provide salvation. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15 says this, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift," the gift of salvation. There's not even words enough in not only the English language, but no language, to express our thanks to Him for what He did. It's an unspeakable gift. And we don't have time to look at all of these things, but we ought to thank God for victory over death and the grave. We're right here by this one here, so we can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad. Now, we didn't read all of this, but verse 55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Then it says, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that death is not the end? Aren't you glad that the grave can't hold us? Thank God for victory. When we die in the Lord, we go immediately to be in the presence of the Lord. And one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come back, and all of our loved ones who's they are, if we've had loved ones already passed and friends and they've been saved, then their body is somewhere asleep in the ground, just resting until the Lord comes back and gets them. Aren't you glad about that? Hallelujah. It's all because of God's unspeakable gift. And if anybody in the world ought to be thankful, it's us as God's people. We ought to be thankful for wisdom. We ought to be thankful for strength. We ought to be thankful for the supply of all our bodily needs. Everybody in here has nice clothes on today. Everybody. Everybody in here has a place to stay. We have a roof over our head. We have food. We have a car if we want one. If not, we can, call a friend to come pick us up, or we can call a taxi or something. We have transportation. Most people around the world don't even have transportation, but we do here in America, and God takes care of us so good. And we could go through the Bible and look at a lot more examples, but these are just, and again, this is just a simple message. Basically, all we did was be reminded of what the Bible says about being thankful. And again, we need to be reminded that we are to be becoming more and more like Christ. And Christ was thankful. You and I ought to be thankful. God has done so much for us. I would challenge you this week. Sometime, just sit down with the Lord, you and the Lord, sometime the kids are asleep, or, you know, whatever it is, time that you have where you could just get along with the Lord, and just write down things that you're thankful for. And I guarantee you, you're gonna have a long list, because we've got a lot to be thankful for, don't we? God has been so good to us. Even in the midst of trials, in the midst of disappointments, in the midst of not knowing which direction to go, this or that, God's been good to us. I'm glad that we have a God that cares for us, loves us, and we need to be thankful for that. Well, let's all stand. Enter into God's gates with thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we come before your presence this morning as thankful people. We do thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Lord, we know that there's a lot of things that have happened in America, and we know that there's a lot of families that have just been devastated by all kinds of things that have happened in the last few months in our country. And Lord, we pray that you would be with them during this time. We know families have lost family members. We know families have lost everything in the hurricanes and fires and the different tragedies that have taken place. And Lord, we know that this is going to be a tough time for a lot of people. And Lord, we do pray that if people don't know Christ, that during this Thanksgiving time, that somebody would be able to get the gospel to them and they would trust Christ as their Savior. We do pray for God's people that have been affected by all these things. We pray you'd give them your grace as they go through this Thanksgiving time. And Father, we do want to be a thankful people. We do thank you for your unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ and salvation and all that entails. And I pray, Lord, that we would become more and more like Christ. Help us to become just more thankful every day we live for all that you've done for us. And God, I pray that again during this week that we would all take time and think about all you've done for us and just be thankful for it. God, we pray that you'd continue to bless our church and bless all the folks here and all the families that are represented in Jesus' name. As Miss Vicki plays during this invitation, I just invite you to just spend time with the Lord. Father, once again, we just thank you for letting us get together this morning, giving us a nice place to meet. We pray that you dismiss us with thy blessings and bring us safely back here next time. In Jesus' name, amen.